What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Me and B holding it down out west, Ashburn, Virginia.
Way out west.
30-ish miles west of the United States Capitol. It is a busy day in Ash Vegas today as the Commanders prepare for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. Big game, NFC East game. Chance for the Commanders to get to 3-1 in the division. It's been a while since they've been 3-1 in the division.
It's been a while.
I think it's a huge opportunity with a team that is really scuffling and struggling against the Cowboys. We all know division games are division games. A lot can happen. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm fine, brother.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I never understand how our mics are just like in constant evolution.
We don't move them like from one day to the next.
Maybe it's just how we talk from one day to the next. I don't know. I had a show last night, but watched zero sports when I got home, which is a very rare thing for me.
I watch golf.
Golf?
Yeah, I always go on the Golf Channel like late at night.
Golf was on a Tuesday?
I forgot what it was. I just like to look at the dude swing, try to work on my stuff. But I started off looking at – which basketball game was it?
NBA or college?
NBA. It was the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then I switched to that and I fell asleep.
On the couch or did you make it to bed?
I made it to the bed this time, but I was on top of the covers, fully dressed.
Yo, I mean, I've seen it when we've been on road trips, not like work road trips, but like when we've gone on fun road trips. When it's time for you to go to sleep, you're going to sleep.
Oh, I don't care where it's at. Hey, in the middle of
Beverly Hills.
What's the name of that restaurant?
Spago.
Spago. Hell yeah, I'm going to sleep.
That's what happens. You start doing tequila shots with Paul Pierce. Haven't slept in a couple days.
Oh, yeah.
That happens. So busy. I got a busy day today. Landfill, shout out to Sheetz. You and I are Sheetz loyalists. But I tried to get some gas this morning, and, like, the pumps weren't working, which really threw my timing off, I'll tell you that much. Headed to MGM.
So you wait till you're on your way to work to stop to get gas.
Oh, yeah.
You could have done that yesterday. You wouldn't have that problem.
Listen, whenever my timing is off, the root cause of the issue is I cut everything too close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm aware of that. I'm just saying it'd be cool if the pump worked too, though.
Yeah, I mean, still, you probably would have been pushing it anyway.
Yeah.
I pull up. I say, there's no JP here. He's going to tell me he been pulled up, though.
No, yesterday I was pulled up. Today, just a lot of little things went against me.
Sounds like every day, Jay.
Yeah, it does. But I was here. I was here when I heard Tribe come on. I was good. It's funny. We got Browns Steelers tonight, which seems like such a nothing thing. And sometimes these Thursday games, when you think they're nothing, turn
they're
into
something.
Yeah, and with Jameis, dude, you never know.
You never know what you're gonna get.
What direction that's
Jameis
gonna
go. Jameis is kind of like Mike Tyson. You just tune in and see what you're gonna get.
I think I'm done tuning in for Iron Mike.
I am too. I'm done tuning in for Paul, Tyson, all of it.
Dude, I read this really interesting article about Jake Paul today that he's just like this vapid, hollow creature, and he's become like this villain, which I God bless him because he's highly profitable, but I feel like his existence must be at some level, Jake Paul, at some level, these people that have these lives, granted they are super rich, and that could be fulfilling on its own. But at some level, if you're a creator or an influencer, totally run out of stuff to talk about. But on some level, if you have any self-awareness, you realize you just live a hollow existence.
When you're 27 and you got many
500 million,
I don't think it's hollow.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see the young lady walked in the building with?
I almost said a lot of comments right there that I'm really glad I didn't. When speaking of hollow, dude, we've never had this dude on the show today. Nikki Walcott is going to join us at 11:30. This story I heard about yesterday for the first time with some detail.
Well, I was hearing about it for a while,
so I didn't. But yesterday, Between all the local TV channels, they cover some high school football. Mm-hmm. So the guys that cover some high school football in the media room were talking about this Hayfield High School thing.
Yeah.
And whether they have or have not done something wrong. I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
It's interesting, but you know what? If you look at some stuff, you can come to some conclusions.
Well, what I always think in these types of situations, it ain't the kids, man. It's not the parents kids, that just mess all this stuff up.
Let's just be real, dude. A coach wins two championships, leaves and go to another school, and 14 kids go with him. He ain't have no influence on that. Let's be real about it, though.
Yo, not only influence, but I mean, on some level, don't you think there's cash involved? Maybe it's just for the coach,
hey,
but somebody's getting paid.
Even the Miss Michelle Reed is her name. She said, "With the we have to get used to dealing with what was the word she used? Something about the
I don't know
the amateur athletes in this era." She's basically saying what you think it is.
Like what, transfer portals coming to college, coming to high school.
We're not crazy.
All right, so we're going to talk to this dude, Nikki Walcott, who's been covering this for the Post and wrote a really in-depth article that I read this morning that I just find fascinating. I don't know what the answer is, and frankly, I fear that just the transfer portal is going to get to high school because I think, like, legally, how can you separate it?
Well, high school, normally you got to live in an area to go to that high school.
Unless you go to private, but yeah.
And that's not private. That's what, private about this.
That's what I don't understand with this dude. Just go coach at Bishop Ireton or something, and then everybody can come.
Yeah.
Like, surely at Hayfield High School looks like it's kind of by Alexandria. Does that seem about right? Like, or maybe that's not Hayfield High School. I don't know. There's got to be a Catholic school or a private school within a couple miles. Hey, hire this coach, win a bunch of titles. It seems like it's that simple.
You but would hope.
We'll get all the facts because now this thing's in the courts and it's just a bona fide mess. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to talk plenty of Commanders today. Cliff Kingsbury is going to talk about 11:45. Joe Witt will be a little later in the day. We're going to go down to Dallas, check in with Sean Sharif, covers the Cowboys, hosts a radio
show. I talked to Sean this morning.
Oh, did you?
20.
Oh, on his show?
Yeah.
Nice. And we got Rosenberg early this morning.
I told him I was surprised he still had a job.
They've been getting into it with Jerry, man. They've been getting into it with Jerry. But, B, yesterday we got to hear from Dan Quinn. We got to hear from Jaden Daniels. And I think it's easy to kind of mock the regular week of practice thing as like, man, these are professionals and it's week 12. Does practice really make a difference? I think if you look at how everything has gone since Jaden got injured, mm-hmm. Jaden basically didn't practice for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then there was a full week before the Steelers game. Then you had a short week where nobody practiced. I think there is something to just getting back in the flow of things.
You know, it's easy to knock something when you don't have a clue of it.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people do. The ultimate thing is practice matters. Okay. I know AI said we talk about practice, but practice does matter. And I don't care if it's football, basketball, hockey, a radio show. Let's say this. You and I work together every day for, let's go, four or five months. And you have something happen with your voice.
Sure.
You're gone for 3-4 days. When you get back, then I have to go somewhere. And then all of a sudden we get back together. It takes a little bit more timing to come back to it. It's a natural thing. But everybody knows everything about something that they don't know a damn thing
right,
about.
Right, right.
That's how it goes.
I totally agree with that. I think it's interesting kind of to your point about you and I working together. We are undoubtedly better now than we were our first year, right? Like, not that we didn't know each other, but we just understand the flow of the show or whatever it is. And time and repetition helps in anything. If you've read the Malcolm Gladwell book, Outliers, it's all about time and repetition. If you look at these like series of incredibly influential and successful people, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a myth. And I do think, specific to the offense, I almost wonder specific to some of the drops, specific to some of the stuff that looked just off. Mm-hmm. It looked just off. If that's a real issue. And I think maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but perhaps, you know, the placebo effect, perhaps most importantly, if the players are like, man, we were just off because we didn't get to practice. Now we got a full week of practice. Let's go kick their ass. Mm-hmm. Then it works.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But I just think, man, when you've been through it for an extended period of time, you understand those little idiosyncrasies of a sport, of coming together and things like that. And a lot of times you just got to get to the mindset, turn off the people that talk about it that don't know. You know, and I think that's where the players have to be. The one thing that they say that makes a lot of sense to me is we have to correct us, not worry about what the other people are doing. Every time you hear people talking about sports, we always talk about what the other person have to do. No. If you're really into it, sports people take care of what they can do. If you get to your highest level, you feel you can beat any damn body. But if you keep worrying about who's hurt on their team, who's hurt, then you don't ever reach your full potential.
Sure.
So that's what you need to do. Every day you're trying to reach your full potential. Because, listen, I went to Southwest Louisiana. A lot of people went to Ohio State, Alabama. But if I was at my highest level, I would whoop their ass. That's what I believe. It ain't the school you go to. It's what you're made of when you get out there. How deep can you go? The problem, too many athletes, they don't reach their full potential because they care about what everybody thinks. They care if somebody comes to you, oh, man, you're great. Remember when Mike Tyson first came along, when he was with Customato? Mike was walking through people. Then he got Don King and all the LaFluckies that were hanging around Don King. What did everybody tell him? Oh, Mike, you the man.
You the champ.
Man, can't nobody beat you, champ. So what did champ start doing? He stopped working out as much as he did, and he got his ass beat. Okay? When Cuss had him doing it, he was always afraid of something. And he never, ever lost. He'll come in the ring, and the dudes he was fighting were scared. And that's the whole thing about it. You need to strive to be better. Like what Jaden says about himself, he's trying to be the best Jaden he can be every day.
Yeah.
If they keep doing that, they're going to be all right.
That's the only path, man, is – and I really think these guys understand that just because trying to – like Jaden, how – I think he really handled – every time there's like, oh, how do you compare to Lamar? Or, oh, you know, did you mind that there were other quarterbacks on your official visit? All these questions. He's always been like, no, I'm just going to be me. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And I think it's the right way to handle it. And I think it's by and large how these guys have handled stuff. And I think it's just, I think it's intelligent. I think going into this week, we can talk about Jaden getting the time and all the differences, all the little misses they've had over the last few weeks. Because let's be real, there have been little misses. I think about the Luke McCaffrey deep shot they took late in that Steelers game that was there, and they just missed it. Like, people miss. Those things happen. I think if you get back in the flow of things, it all of that will follow. I think what's far more important, though, frankly, than the week of practice and all the little things that we're going to get caught up in is the offensive line is fully healthy. And nobody's on the injury report. Got to talk to Biadasz at length yesterday. He said he feels good. Brian Robinson said the hamstring feels good. I mean, dude, I'm looking at the injury report from yesterday. You got three DNPs, Lattimore and Belore. Those guys probably aren't playing this week. Let's just be honest. Maybe they come back. Zach Ertz got a DNP for rest. That's kind of become his standard situation. Mm-hmm. I would expect that he's back today. And then there's not a single offensive lineman on the report. Brandon Coleman is on there with a thumb, but as a full participant.
Okay.
I think that is tremendously important news for a team that's starting with the Steelers and then in the Eagles. The Steelers, they were getting beat on the inside. The Eagles, they were getting beat kind of everywhere. And mm-hmm. I think injuries were a massive factor. And I think, listen, Micah Parsons is on the field Sunday. He's a legit player and makes
yes,
a big
he is.
Difference. But they've gone up against Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt this year, too, and held those guys sackless. Like, I think they can scheme that up. But the scheming up only works when you've got healthy players. You care more about a full week of practice or the O-line appears to be back in business?
O-line. I like the fact that the O-line is back, but you know what, though? I like the fact that they're back because I think they are the reason that the offense was looking so good early. And people like to choose the skill position players, but the offensive line gave them time. They gave them holes. They gave them, you know, the ability to do the things they wanted to do. I believe if they're healthy and you got your week of practice back, you got some good stuff about to happen.
Yeah, man. And none of it's guaranteed. There should be a lot of opportunities for this team to prove it this weekend. Dallas's defense comes in woefully bad, and I want somebody to Photoshop. If this weekend goes well, I want somebody to Photoshop Jaden Daniels spraying a fire hose on narratives, on like a narrative fire, and maybe Kingsbury too. I this is just an opportunity for what the Commanders have built to prove to everybody just to calm down. They played two of the best teams in the NFL, two of the best defenses in the NFL in 5 days, and their guys are really beat up. If it goes poorly, then the conversations change. I just think it's far too early to
trolling.
I kind of don't care. Like, this rookie of the year thing keeps popping up, and you can have it. Like, whatever.
Ain't going nowhere.
Whatever discussion you want to have with that, fire away.
But see, that's what the, you know, most people want to discuss, because that's exciting to them. Instead of the things that really matter, get some practice time in, have some chemistry built, and you can win some good. You win some games.
One thing I asked a bunch of players yesterday, because Wednesday you get your most access to talk to the most players, is, and I asked DQ this too, you know, defensively they've been really good about for 50 minutes in both of these last two games. They've been really good for about 50 minutes.
Totally.
How do you think they, to me, I think it's a complimentary football result of not having first downs, not having time of possession, like all those factors. How do you think this defense finishes games? How do they cross that bridge?
Well, they finish games if they're not exhausted. They were on the field a good bit in that game, and then offense got on the field and boom, boom, threw them right back out there. They have to play complimentary football, you know. And ultimately, when you're not capitalizing off of points and opportunities, and you don't do it, it always comes back to haunt you. In that game, I kept saying, man, we don't get some points, it's going to come back to haunt us. And it easily did, because you can get field goal, field goal, field goal. Then somebody scores one touchdown, they're only 2 points out. They get 2 points conversion.
You saw that in the Bears game.
Yeah, that stuff happens. So you have to make sure. And when you, as like early on in this season, our offense was carrying the ball 7, 8 minutes. Defense was rested when they got on the field.
Right.
So you could do a lot more.
I'm with you. I think it'll be interesting to kind of watch it all shake out. But I think a lot of this has to start with increased offensive efficiency. Their third downs over the last 2 weeks have been abhorrent. I think they were 3-12 last week and 5-15 the week before. What is that? 8-28. Mm-hmm. You're not giving yourself a chance. You're not giving your defense a chance. Last week they took a lot more sacks than they have, and I think that was a product of good interior pressure and a lot of hurt guys on the line. There's a lot of ways for them to get right this week, and I think the biggest is just by taking care of what they can control.
That's it.
And I think what a lot of fans don't understand is when it comes to buying a car, you can control the process. And how do you do it? You work with Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Brian and I have been buying cars from these guys for a long time, both for us, for our families. They take good care of you, and they've been taking care of DMV car buyers for over 100 years. You've been doing something that long, you're doing something right. They've got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia with the best-selling brands you want. Kia, Ford, Lincoln, Toyota, Dodge, Jeep. They got it all. Chevys, Buick, GMC. And beyond just the great locations and the great service, they've got the Orsman Lifetime Edge.
And that comes when you take your car in for service and things of that nature. You know, when you go buy a car, you want to be treated one way. But when you take it in for service, you don't want people to be treating you all bad. And Orsman have their Lifetime Edge. They give you up to $1,500 in extras, including complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance, loaner cars with every major maintenance, and a lifetime engine guarantee. And that's great news out there. If you're trying to sell a car, you want to get top dollar. So you take it to Orsman, they'll pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model a year. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy, just like they kept JP and I happy. So at Orsman, let's ride together.
What a great, great song, Otis. All right, if you want to be in the stream, figure out where it is. First place today, first good morning comment. Good morning to Chris Strickland.
What up, Chris?
He said, what up, squad? What up, squad, to you, Chris? Sitting on the dock of the bay.
It is all right. 106.7 The Fans, YouTube. YouTube.com/106.7 The Fan.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Brian, remember the dude called in last week mad about Jaden's blankets? And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And you had to explain to me, I guess on the broadcast they show him getting the wraps around his like chest and his ribs. Mm-hmm. I thought they were just talking about like the coat that all quarterbacks have been wearing since like the days of Terry Bradshaw.
Y.A. Tittle was on the damn ball.
Like they just throw that like cloak over them like they're a vampire. So I think sometimes these things are kind of silly and they become questions. But Jaden Daniels got asked yesterday about the wrap that goes on him. Let's let Jaden answer the question, Landini.
Jaden, I know fans are wondering, you know, during the game in between drives, you put on this wrap on your ribs. What does that do for you and why do you do that?
It's to stay warm. It's getting later in the years, it gets colder. You don't want your body parts to get cold. So it's just to stay warm.
Brian, you played football more than a decade. There's a lot of people that don't believe this. I'm curious your take on it.
Well, I didn't wrap a wrap around me, but I sure put that jacket on, and I stood right next to that damn jet thing that shoots. And I also sat on that heated bench. But when you have ribs that have been injured a little bit, what do you have to do? Don't let them get too cold, right? So he said I'm keeping warm. He ain't had to specify I'm trying to keep my ribs warm. So it is what it is, man. But what I'm learning is no matter what you say, something is going to be taken to what – nobody's going to believe it anyway. They're going to make it what they want it to be. So, hey, next time, just don't answer the damn question.
It was a tricky one, I think, man. Like, by
drama,
sort of, or like what people are asking on Twitter. I think if it looked a little weird. Remember the first game? I guess it was who they played right after the Panthers. Was that the Bears the next game? And they wrapped up like his whole body. Remember, like, he'd come to the sideline, and they'd use, like, the big ace bandage, like, outside around. That was probably just to keep things tight. You remember what I'm talking about?
No.
Dude, there were videos of it. Like, it was on the broadcast. He came to the sideline, and they put this big old industrial ace bandage.
I guarantee it had something to do with an injury or something.
Yeah, it was the ribs.
It would keep him warm.
It was his first game after the ribs. I feel like we're so used to mysteries and Ron refusing to divulge any information and going back further than that. Was the player injured and the coach forced him to play, or did the player ignore medical advice and was the medical advice bad? And we're just predetermined, but you know, because we've dealt with all that legitimately, mm-hmm. that like there's this like locked in mental state where there's just extreme skepticism towards all things. And I understand where it comes from, and I'm not even necessarily like condemning that. It's just I don't know or believe that this is how they are operating now. I think
far from that.
Jaden got popped in the ribs bad, and it hurt him, and it's probably going to hurt him the rest of the year, especially when he gets popped again. But I don't think DQ is lying when he says he's healthy. I think Jaden is lying when he says the thing is to keep warm. Like what is the conspiracy? Is Jeff available, Landini? I haven't even said good morning to the boys yet.
When a guy pulls his hamstring and then he comes back to play, what does that guy do after the game and after practices? He goes and gets treatment for it. Even after he's back healthy and playing, he still is going to do maintenance. The thing of it is, I've said this many a times, our job is to educate people on stuff and not always entertain their BS. Okay? Wish I could just say the real damn word. Because it gets to a point where I get a little sick and tired of stupidity. The job is to give people information, and then when they're way off base, tell them what the truth is and be done with it. But we as media people have gotten into this thing of entertaining stupidity all the time. You know what the facts are. You know what people are doing. If that person wanted to think what they think, they let them think what they think. But when we bring it to the airwaves, we get more people thinking stupid then. Listen to it. Keep moving. Because he said to keep warm. It's to keep his ribs warm. You know, some things you got to read in between the lines. They're not giving you every little word, every little tidbit. So, I don't know, man. It's just like society is going to hell in the handbasket. We entertain the weirdest, most dumb, stupid things in the world and not the intelligent stuff all the time.
It seems like we're trying to create something here. Jeffrey,
it's always that.
Jeffrey, I know that folks are up in arms about this on the social media. Like, what is the theory? What is the thought here?
People think they are trying to hide an injury, but what I'm realizing, it's like the Commander fan base, Washington fan base. We need therapy. We need meditation. We just need to all sit back, relax. Take a couple deep breaths, understand that change is coming, so we can't hold, we got to let the past go. You know, I know it's hard to let the past go because the past is also where we were winning, but for real, we got to let the past go because everyone is holding this ownership to the last ownership, when in reality, they know what they're doing. They're professionals. They wouldn't be here, you know. The way they went about hiring everyone, getting help from outside organizations and all of that, they wouldn't be here if they wasn't good at their jobs.
So is the theory that, like, DQ came to the podium Monday and said he's not injured now, like, he's lying or that he remained, like, do they think there's a new injury besides the rib injury from the Panthers?
No, they think he was injured in those games, and that's why they were putting so much emphasis on, oh, of course he's not injured now. We were talking about last week.
I think he was probably injured in some of those games. Like, playing through it, it was pretty clear. They told us it was week to week and that he was going to be in – it was a pain tolerance issue and that the only thing that helps it is time and rest. I don't see where the conspiracy is.
I don't think it's a conspiracy, but Jeff, you said people don't remember the good past. They don't compare stuff to that. People need to learn how to forget the negative past because that's the only thing they compare everything to. They compare everything to Dan Snyder and his era, what happens, what transpired then.
Disaster, Bill.
It's nothing else. Nobody's complaining about anything. If they try to do something like they did prior to that, nobody complains about that. They complain about all the things that happened then. They got to learn to let that go. If you let go of the good stuff, you damn sure need to let go of the bad stuff.
Let it go. Peter Rosenberg joins us next. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up. You hear that song, you might wonder what time it is, but we reschedule for Rosenberg. That's the motto around here. What up, Peter? How you doing, bud?
Yo, guys. Thank you for your flexibility.
Dude, of course. Let's start. Speaking of flexibility, are you moving to the suburbs? Did I misinterpret your Instagram post?
Yes, you absolutely did. And so did everybody, because if you read the caption in full, it says, with the baby coming, we had to move stuff out of the apartment.
Stuff is everyone, a key word.
Yeah, everyone saw it and was like, yo, where are you moving? Congrats. And no, my wife is very, very Manhattan committed, so we are not moving anywhere right now. Not coming home to D.C. quite yet.
All right.
You know what I showed you, Peter? People don't read, man.
They don't read. Pictures, it's unfortunate.
They see pictures and they think, oh, here we go.
There was a moving truck and a house that looked like
and
it was in the suburbs.
We are expecting our first child in January, and the space in New York City is at a premium. So we had to make space in our apartment, and that required moving a lots of stuff.
That's a little wordy, though. It's a little wordy.
Read.
Thank you, B. Mitch.
It's fundamental.
All right, I got to read more, but I got a question for you, Peter. This is our dear friend Peter Rosenberg, ESPN New York, Hot 97, WWE, does it all. Give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio on all the different platforms. This is just a very generic, I'm going to ask you a simple question. You're a Commanders fan. How you feeling about your squad?
How am I feeling about my squad? I feel pretty good. I got some concerns about the health of the quarterback, which I wanted to ask you guys about and see if anything's been uncovered this week. But I'm not going to – what you can't allow yourself to do is to get down because you lost an incredibly close game that you easily could have won 2 weeks ago against a great football team. And then you absolutely had a chance to beat a great football team the next week and some possible questionable coaching decisions and other bad things happen. You lost the game. I'm not getting into the place of yesteryear where I all of a sudden start doubting the whole team.
That's an important place to be, man. I think here's where I have landed. There are it's like a couple losses. It's literally two losses to two of the best teams in the NFL over 5 days. And this wave of, oh my gosh, there's trouble brewing, you know, kind of besets the fan base. And I think everybody needs to chill. Let's see how this game plays out against the Cowboys with a full week of practice. Jaden says he's healthy. DQ says Jaden's healthy. And let this game be the narrative extinguisher. And then you've got 5 games left. You got a bye week. They got 3 games in the next 30 days. You know how good that is for their bodies for recovery? It was a tough stretch. I think they gave away the Steelers game. I think they eventually were outclassed by the Eagles. But, like, they're 7-4, get to 9-4 at the bye. The sky is hardly falling.
Yep.
That's exactly how I feel. So let me ask you my question then. And this helps determine the other things. Hey, yo. Getting a little loud here, guys. Sorry. Yeah, everything's okay. Let me ask you this.
He's bringing it to their house that he just moved to.
They're breaking into my non-existent house. No, let me ask you guys this question, though. Have we gotten any more information on if there could be injury?
To who? Jaden?
To Jaden.
No. I think the ultimate thing is the injury, by him saying he's healthy now, he's saying that the ribs are feeling better. They're not 100%. They'll never be 100%. But he's saying that they're feeling better. And that's not a reason for anything now. You know, I think people get so caught up with the quarterback, they forget about the other people. Those 5 people that blocked for him, I bet you go look at the list of injuries they had going into the last game, then you'll understand why the quarterback didn't have a lot of time and why he struggled as well.
I think the O-line was a wreck. I literally saw those dudes trying to get their pads off and having a ton of trouble just with, like, simple, you know, movements. Mm-hmm. So I think it's weird. I think they've been pretty honest about the injury. He has the rib injury, and the only thing that helps that is time, and he hasn't really gotten it, time and rest. So now he's gotten a bit, and Peter, I don't know if you saw this, but DQ, Jaden, Eckler, all of them tried to make this about practice, about a lack of practice time. I went back and counted. Since Jaden got injured on October 20th, how many full practices do you think he's gone through?
No idea.
4 at most. In a month. I guess 5 with yesterday. So I do think some of just the timing and situational stuff probably got a little messed up. I think it was just a combination of 11 straight weeks of games plus a rookie quarterback they're going to start playing him differently. They're going to adjust to him. I think the Steelers and the Eagles had the linebackers to actually spy on him and make it work. It's easy to say you want to run a spy at Jaden Daniels, but there's not that many people in the NFL that can actually do that. I think the Steelers and the Eagles had that. And I think when you add all that up, you just get this cocktail of, all right, they can't convert on third down. Brian Robinson missed a few of those games. I think there were just a ton of factors, and there's this like overwhelming desire to simplify it to what's wrong with Jaden, what's wrong with Cliff, is the team sinking?
Can I ask you something crazy?
Yeah.
Would it have been absolute madness if he is, quote, feeling better but still ailing? Would it have been insane to rest him this week? Because Dallas is an absolute free fall. This is a horrible football team. There's a reason the line is 10.5. This is
That's why I'm scared, Peter. That's why I get scared of those games like that.
You are nervous of every division game.
But because
even the Giants, you were.
Division game, especially rival game, they scare the hell out of me. But I would say this. He's basically has 10 weeks of not getting hit. I mean, 10 days of not getting hit. You let him not play this game against Dallas, you think the crazy is already coming out on social media. It'll be ridiculous.
Well, I'm not even concerning myself with the crazies. I know what we have here. I know what this team is becoming. The people who are still stuck in the past and waiting for the other shoe to drop because they think the ghost of Dan Snyder is going to bite our heads off. I can't play that game with them. So I just want to think about who's the bad team we play the following week?
Titans.
So maybe I have the order whack. Maybe we play them this week. If for some reason coming out of this week he still looks like he's dinged, I rest him against the Titans and give him the extra week with the bye week to get better. Like I want to like be very mindful of what this season could be. Like this, I just don't want us to get so caught up and desperate for immediate gratification. We have cushion right now. They can be smart. They're playing a couple of weak football teams. You have Brian Robinson back. I just want to be very smart and calculated. And if they start seeing Jaden Daniels not looking right this weekend, I really hope they do the right things to protect him. Don't get desperate. Like, this is a much bigger picture than it needing to be perfect. Listen, I know we beat the Bears with a Hail Mary. It was glorious. That doesn't mean everything is going to ascend exactly the way we all planned. And I just want to be super mindful with the kid who's at the focal point of this whole thing.
See, Peter, you are a sensible person, and I know how you would accept all of that. But I don't think there's a person in this building that want to deal with all the stuff they're going to have to deal with if that were to happen. Now, if he were injured, I understand that. But if he's not injured, he got to play. You know, but you are talking from a place of having sensitivity.
Sensibility, yeah.
Most of the people that they deal with on a regular basis and you hear all the crap from, they don't have a clue of what the hell they're even talking about.
I just want this to be different, you know, than the past, and I think we're in a great situation right now. I'm not taking the Cowboy game for granted by any means, but that is a team now that is currently in free fall. And frankly, you know, this is sort of weird, but I sort of feel like if they had decided to trot out Mariota this week, there would have been such focus and intensity because the line wouldn't have been 10.5, guys. The line would probably be, what, 6.5? 7.5? And I feel like there'd be a real...
That's an interesting
question. It has to be at least a few, although it's never as much as you think, right? But I just think there'd be enough intensity. I think they'd win this game regardless. It's fine. I understand that's a little bit wacky, and people think that's probably dramatic. But
dude, here's where I land on it. Like, you can't be healthier than healthy. At some point, there's not more to gain. If this is where they've determined he's healthy and they're saying it over and over, they clearly think he's okay. And he thinks he's okay. I know. Dude, Jaden didn't want to be held out of practice after the Panthers game going into the Bears game when he just got the shot to the ribs. So I think for a lot of folks, it's nerve-wracking. Like, I understand that. And there is, like, the ghost of RG3 somewhere in the back of the brain. But I just think the situations are quite different. And everybody is using, I guess, there were a couple bad throws in that Eagles game, but the kid was also on his ass a lot of that game in an unexpected manner.
I mentioned this last week. It was the ball thrown at Noah Brown's feet.
Yeah, right.
that's the one that you, because he didn't appear to be getting pressured in the moment, and he just, it was just so off. You know, the pick wasn't great either, but that wasn't the same kind of example. Listen, I hope you're right, and I hope he's feeling better. I will say this. If he were to not play a good game against this Dallas team, yeah, the conversation's going to get louder about, like, is he what we thought he was? You know, and we live in this microwave league where people are anointed and then torn down in the series of 3-4 games. It's a scary league, man. How many times do we see quarterbacks and people go, oh, they got him. Oh, no, they don't have him. Oh, wait, I think they have them. I mean, we've seen it with Dexter, with Trevor Lawrence. We've seen it with C.J. Stroud. You know, guys that you think you have, and then all of a sudden it gets questioned. I think we all know exactly who Jaden is. I don't, even if he gets solved. Now, there may be growing pains because there may be really good coordinators like we saw the last 2 weeks who do a better job with him, and he may appear to be solved. And so there may be a period where it does get worse before it gets better. But we have to be patient and have belief in the kid, and I have that.
I totally agree with that.
I'll put you on that.
And I wonder, dude, can you give me 30 seconds on the Paul Tyson fight? I know you were there. 30 seconds, sure. We got to go. Landfill's going to
kill me. Yes, absolutely. Listen, the fight got panned by a lot of people. Obviously, some people had Netflix problems, so that's one reason for it. And then there were a lot of other people saying they got ripped off. To those people, I say, well, you should have listened to what I said when I was on with you guys last week, because it played out exactly as I expected. Being in the building, it was actually an awesome experience. Like, being there, the how sold out to the rafters that place was, and as a lifelong Tyson fan, so get to watch his ring walk with 70,000 people cheering for him was such an unusual experience that we do not get in sports. The fact that he then stood on his feet for 8 rounds, if you go back and watch it, actually had a couple moments where he looked all right. To me, I thought it was great, but I understand many people chose not to view it that way. They, for some reason, thought he was going to go from being 58 to 22. I didn't have that expectation.
10-4. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, bro.
I'll text you guys Sunday.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you there. That's our friend Peter Rosenberg. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.